all this out, folks, at the Power Mall. I know that we've been talking about this, the 10% off of the Global Healing Healthy Balance, the iComplex CS, all of those great closeout items that are there on the Power Mall. We have them here for you. Dave Krieger back with you on the Power Hour, and I'm sorry that the real Anthony Fauci, that book by Robert F. Kennedy Jr., has been sold out. It's out of stock from the publisher for the last two weeks. We're going to be getting a restock in the next week or two, just to let you know, a little production out there. And we appreciate your going and supporting us on the Power Mall. You go to the Support Us tab, too, and help us out a little more. Because we have guests on that actually will enlighten you. And everybody, you know what they like about the show? Most of the listeners have responded, and we listen. They want solutions. They don't want just problems. They want solutions. They don't want to be scared. They want to know, hey, there are people here that got your back. Or as they say in the military, I got your six. They want to know that there's a backup. They want to know there's a plan. And so one of the things that, you know, in a perfect world, if everybody would walk in love, well, we would not need the law. That's the thing. If we had people who would walk in love, there would be no crime. If we had people that knew what the laws were, and we have laws on the books here that we, the people, allowed our elected representatives to enact. And if we knew that those laws were on the books and we knew what those laws stood for and we actually cared, there wouldn't be any crime. We wouldn't need to enforce the law. Well, because of the fact that we don't walk in love all the time and that there are people out there that are hell-bent on not walking in love and hell-bent on violating the law, what we call lawlessness that we have seen. And all I got to do is point to what happened in 2020 with the rioting in the cities to talk to you about lawlessness. And we have an attorney on the show with us right now. See, the solution is understand the law. And if you don't know the law, if you don't know your rights, you don't have any. And we have Brent Allen Winters with us, who is a lawyer. He has a website called commonlawyer.com. And we have him on the show with us. Welcome, Mr. Winters. We appreciate your joining us.
Well, I appreciate you folk taking time to talk to me. And without platforms like this, we wouldn't stand a chance getting the word out. And I know it's a full-time job, and most people don't have a clue what goes on to putting one man on the radio to be able to, or the platform like this, to be able to talk. And we appreciate all of you.
Well, I appreciate you too, sir. 844-769-2944. Please make a note of that number. Put it in your speed dial because that's the number that you can call Central Time right now from 11 to 1 p.m. Central Time. And we're here on Wednesday, the 19th of January. And this is where you get to call up and ask questions about the law. And we're going to be discussing some things that probably, you know, there are codes, there are statutes, there are regulations. And see, there are resolutions. Resolutions are not law. And see, in order to understand that, you must know the law. You don't want to go and file a suit for Fair Debt Collection Practices Act without knowing what that law says, right? See, and then we also have another law, which Brent's going to talk about here, and that's called the common law, or the slice of the unwritten laws of nature. Brent, could you kind of go into a little bit of detail on that and give us the 40,000-foot view?
That's good.
That's a big order, isn't it?
Yeah, that's good. I like the way you put that. We're going to talk about first principles. There are only two. There are only two traditions of religion, law, and government in the world. Only two. There's the true one. That's the law of the land, our common law tradition. And then there is the false one under a million different labels called the law of the city. It is the law of the land versus the law of the city. And that distinction explains all of the history of mankind. From the founding of the city of Babylon 4,200 years ago to the present, that's been the major reason for everything that's happened among mankind of any significance on the individual level and on the national level. Nations don't go to war for any other reason and never have, because they cannot agree on a common external standard whereby to govern their relationship. Every country in the world is ruled by the Code of Justinian, the old law of the Roman Empire, except the five major common law countries and their former colonies, of which there are quite a few, but five major countries, which comprise fundamentally the English-speaking world. We are a common law people. We call it our common law. It is the law of the land of which our Constitution, Article 6, references, the supreme law of the land. That means our common law. But let's start back by May. What is even more fundamental than that? Why move forward if we don't get the bottom line down here? What is law? Law, an old Viking word, a Danish word that the Danes invaded and brought to England, along with some other words we have like rug, some fundamental words. But law is a Scandia word, and they pronounced it with a guttural law, and we still have it in our English tongue. We write it L-O-G, L-O-G. We use it when we say something is waterlogged. We use it in the sense of law. Waterlogged, that means it's heavy and almost impossible to move. So that spells the story. What is law? Law is fundamentally the way things are, and they ain't going to change. The way things are, and they ain't going to change. And every one of us lives by law, whether we stop to consider it or not. And every man and every woman is a lawyer. What's a lawyer? A lawyer is a man that learns the law. Like a sawyer learns how to operate the saw, a lawyer learns how to operate the law. He learns how to live with it and not to try to fight it. You can't fight it. You can't break through law. It's the way things are, and they're not going to change. You can't break it. You'll break yourself on it. And by the way, in our country, we must focus. Because as a good lawyer in America is a common lawyer. He's not a civil lawyer, law of the city, like the rest of the world. He's a common lawyer. That means he practices the due process law, the law that focuses on the way we do things, not the substance of what we're doing, right and wrong. That's not our common law. That's the Bible. The Ten Commandments are substantive, outcome-oriented. And only God, the maker of all things, the creator of all things, has authority, jurisdiction, to declare the outcome. And he does it under 10 fundamental headings, as we know from the Bible. But our common law is the nexus that puts legs on those outcome standards that God demands of men. Do not covet, lie, steal, commit adultery, or murder your neighbor. That's outcome standards, friends, neighbors, and kin. That's not how we go about ensuring those things. That's just what we got to make sure we reach. Well, how do you reach it? Our common law, called due process, called our Declaration of 76, calls it the laws of nature and the laws of nature's God. Two volumes, the laws of nature unwritten in the nature of creation, meant to be observed. Lex non scripta, says William Blackstone. And then the laws of nature's God, says William Blackstone in his commentaries, written, we call that the Bible. These are two fundamental volumes of law that govern our common law world. The rest of mankind is obligated to follow those two, but they don't. They don't. And people in this country, of course, are ignoring them. You cannot impart, you cannot obey what you do not possess. The law of love, as James says, and love is what? It is the safeguarding of the commandments, says John the Apostle. Law is how we execute, how we do love. There is no other way. And if we don't know those two fundamental volumes, to whatever degree we do know them, we can love our neighbor. To whatever degree we don't know them, we will not love our neighbor, and we will all suffer accordingly. So to start at the bottom, what is law? It is the way things are, and ain't going to change. Number two, how does God reveal that way things are and they ain't going to change, that law? How does he reveal it to us? Through two volumes, through his creation, the relationship between objects in creation and people in creation. And then the Bible, that's how he reveals it to us. And then he says to us, learn them. Observe. I do not step out in front of Greyhound buses and Mack trucks going 60 miles an hour because I do know something of the laws of nature. That's the unwritten volume. I can observe in creation what to do and what not to do. And all of you that are listening to me, do the same thing. You are all lawyers. You live by law. I grew up on the farm. We didn't plant in the fall or plant in the fall and try to harvest in the spring. That's contrary to the laws of nature, the law of the harvest. No, no. We work with the laws, the way things are, and they aren't going to change. We planted in the spring, and then we tried to pick our corn and shuck our corn in the fall. That's the way we did it. And the same thing is true of the way you breed your animals, your livestock. And the same thing is true when a man goes to get married. There is the law of the woman the Bible talks about. It's a law of nature. You either deal with her a certain way or you can't have her. And she is the embodiment, by the way, of that law, that other law we live by. But that's part of the law of nature. Then there's the law of nature's God, the Bible. And the one will lead to the other. I wanted to touch on the grand jury. I like to say Romans chapter 1, which is a unpacking of Psalm 19. Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament, that means the sky and the distance between the land and the sky, the firmament flashes like a neon sign his handiwork. Night after night, it says, and day after day. If you could speed up a camera and put a camera on it, the night would come, the day would come, the night would come, the day would come. It'd be like a neon light flashing the heavens. Well, that's the laws of nature that we observe. Now, all men, it says, all men know. Romans chapter 1, unpacking Psalm 19. All men know of the Creator because they look at the heavens. There are no limits to the observations of the laws of nature. All men live by them or they die. The Christian man and the non-Christian man, he lives by them or he dies. And everything is observable in nature, just like with a grand jury. There are no rules of evidence. They get to look at anything they want to, and nobody has authority to limit what the grand jury wants to look at if they subpoena it. That's the grand jury. But then, by the time it gets to trial, things get more specific. You got the petit jury, the trial jury. There are limits there of evidence, of what is evidence and what is allowed in evidence before that jury. Well, that's the way it is with the Bible. When the maker of all things gives new birth to a man, then he has access. Then God opens his eyes. Then he has fallen upon his knees. Then he is able to take in what the law written says in the Bible. And I'm quoting fundamentally also William Blackstone's commentaries on the laws of England, often called the commentaries on the common law, that have become so influential. And once you go from the laws of nature, and that drives you to humility, and you approach then the laws of nature's God written, then you see the light of day, then the gospel may have sway, then see you Christ of God the Son, who for us all things hath done. The law fulfilled, the debt is paid, death overcome, the curse allayed, hell destroyed, the devil bound, grace for us with God has found. So that's the progression among mankind of these two volumes of law. All men must live by the laws of nature, and God's man learns to live by both. That book that he has given us, he opens our eyes to it and our understanding to it. Well, that's what law is. That's the two fundamental volumes according to our fundamental organic documents, except, as such as the Declaration of 76, the laws of nature, and the laws of nature's God, that phrase lifted from the Scottish Enlightenment. And Jefferson picked it up from John Locke, who was a fan of the Scottish Enlightenment, and he put it in that document. That's what law is, and that's what we as Americans will focus on, or we will cease to be. We will die. Our common law has always been at risk. The way we do things, our common law is not a list of laws. It's a way of life. It is due process. That's their old phrase, lifted from Magna Carta, Lex Terra, means the process that is due and owing to all concerned in legal combat. Back to you.
Well, and I want to let our listeners know that Brent Allen Winters is the author of Excellence of the Common Law, Contrasting the Common Law and Civil Law Traditions in Light of History, Nature, and Scripture. And he's also the author of another one that should pique the interest of you Second Amendment folk out there, Militia of the Several States, Our Constitution's Four Militia Clauses, What perhaps would those be, Mr. Winters?
Well,
you knew I was going to get to that.
Sure. And I know it is important. This is fundamental. There are four militia clauses of our Constitution. I call them the sleeping militia clauses because the only one that most anybody has ever heard of is the fourth one, which is the Second Amendment to the United States Constitution. But there are three others. They've always been there. And with that, if we just follow those three, the fourth one would have been necessary. It's really true. But I'm glad we got the fourth one. It's a fallback position in case the government doesn't recognize the other three, and they don't. But those other three militia clauses have been ignored for about 175 years. And Justice Joseph Story, a great advocate of our common law tradition, responsible in many ways for the common law to be carried west with Blackstone's commentaries, he encouraged men to go west and establish. He was a professor at Harvard, to go west and establish the common law in the states before the Romanists got there and establish the canon and civil law, as the Romanists did, for instance, in the only law of the city jurisdiction in America, which is Louisiana. Now, there are two law of the city jurisdictions in North America. One is Quebec and one is Louisiana. And the reason for them, of course, is that they were settled by the same French people. And the French people brought their Roman religion with them, and the canon law of the Church of Rome is the Code of Justinian put to an ecclesiastic purpose. So it is, of course, a dictatorship, as all of the law of city is a single will. There is no right to keep and bear arms in non-common law countries except by license of government. But in our common law country, the right to keep and bear arms is a duty. All rights, by the way, are duties. Rights are not accompanied by corresponding duties. That's a lie. The word right is an old Germanic word, an old Anglo word, and it means duty. Matter of fact, our common law, I'll get to the militia, I just got to say this. Our common law was first called among those Germanic tribes near the Jutland Peninsula where the Danes live, the Anglos and the Saxons, the Angles, the Saxons, and the Jutes. The name of their law and their tradition of government was the Volkreich. Now, there's that word right. And what does Volkreich mean? Well, Volk, V-O-L-K, is our word folk, and Reich is the word meaning duty. It is the duty of the militia. The folk are the people. The people are the militia. The militia are the male members of a country. And that's what is meant by that phrase, we the people of the United States. That's the militia of the several states of the Union. Well, the militia, of course, is fundamental to our common law tradition way back when Sharp, a man named Sharp, studied the matter of the militia. He was also a Bible commentator. Granville Sharp, they called him. He established and recognized, observed many of the rules of the Greek New Testament, the rules of Greek grammar, Granville Sharp's rule number one and rule number two. But Granville Sharp also had done long, hard study on the militia at common law. This is over 200 years ago. And he said this, there never has been a time in the history of the British island that the people our common law, our law did not require the people to not, our law required the people to not only be armed, but to be expert at arms. And that's the duty. It's not an option. The keeping and carrying a gun loaded is not an option for male members 20 years old and upward in America. I say 20 years old and upward because that's the biblical standard of our Puritan forebears. The age of majority, our common law has misconstrued. It's not 21. It's not 16. It's not 18. It's 20. Why do I say that? Because the Bible says that. Now, if God said it, that's good enough for me. And by the way, the common law has been pretty close, but it's not close enough. Why not do it the way it says it? Well, the militia, four clauses, no people since ancient Israel has had such a complete and clear and crisp, yet always brief, law of the militia. And the four militia clauses say this, and this is where they are. I'll give you the sites. The first militia clause is about Congress. It says the Congress shall have power to provide for the calling forth of the militia to execute the laws of the Union, suppress insurrections and repel invasions, to provide for the organizing, arming, and disciplining the militia, and for governing such part of them as may be employed in the service of the United States. That's the first militia clause, and it delegates a duty to the congressmen of the United States. That's in Article 1, Section 8, Clauses 15 and 16. Then the second militia clause, it delegates a duty to the states. It says this, reserving to the states respectively the appointment of the officers and the authority of training the militia according to the discipline prescribed by Congress. That's Article 8, Section 1, Clause 16. So the first militia clause delegates particular and exclusive duty to Congress respecting the militia of the several states. The second militia clause delegates a duty to the states respecting the militia of the several states. And then we come to the third militia clause. It says the president shall be commander in chief of the militia of the several states when, and only when, called into actual service of the United States. That's Article 2, Section 2, Clause 1. And that brings us to the fourth militia clause. Now note there's a great distinction between the first three and the fourth one. The first three militia clauses delegate a duty to Congress, the states, and the president, and the fourth militia clause delegates no duty at all, but recognizes the duty of the people of the United States to keep and carry a gun.
Which is our Second Amendment. Yeah, we are. We're at the break, and we appreciate your time, Brent Allen Winters. CommonLawyer.com is his website. We're going to be back with more news and information after the break. Stay with us.
Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. When talking of great immune support, a line of products comes to my mind. That's North American Herb and Spice. We carry the Rest Vital Calf, Sinua Raga, Oreganol Juice, Purely C, Chaga Max, Collagen Power Plus, Oregarest, Super Strength Oregano Oil, Black Seed, and many more. Support small businesses when you buy from the good guys. Go to thepowermall.com or call 877-817-9829.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
This craft that the Strauss family had of recognizing the medicinal value of herbs by taste and then putting formulas together, knowing the herbal ingredients they needed, but putting them together in perfect proportion by taste, just like a chef would, the Strauss Heart Drops, the world-famous Strauss Heart Drops that saved my life, Jim Strauss's and many others, my dad, my list goes on and on. But those Heart Drops, they were developed, created 40 years ago for Jim himself after a heart attack. Now, this formula fixed my high blood pressure over 20 years ago, and I have had great blood pressure since.
Call Jay at 877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
Noon, Wednesday, January 19th, 2022. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate that. And Brent Allen Winters, we just were on with CommonLawyer.com explaining to us the principles of why we are one of the greatest nations on earth. And that's because of the fact that we regard the right to keep and bear arms as the fourth tenet of the principles that he just discussed, all provided for in the Constitution. This is one of the reasons why an invading enemy would have a very difficult time taking us over, especially if we were well armed, if you get my drift. Nobody wants a civil war. I know that there have been numerous surveys, which some of which could be considered demeaning or disheartening. And the reason I say it is, you know, one of the most recent ones that I ever laid eyes on and did a little studying of was Rasmussen's poll. And every time Rasmussen does a poll of why people think that we're going to be in another civil war, it keeps going up. The number, the percentages keep increasing as to the number of people that are preparing for war, the number of people that have got arms and are buying more guns. And every time, and we go back to the old scientific reasoning that says for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. You remember that, right? Newton, I believe, is the one that coined it. And when you're looking at stuff like this and you see that there is an action taking place in the government of the United States, and governments, I'm going to come back again because I don't want people saying I'm anti-government. No, governments are necessary. We have a government that was set up as a republic. It was set up by our founding fathers who knew well that as long as we adhered to Christian principles, we could coexist peacefully without having a civil war. But when the government steps in and starts exercising things that are not provided for in our Constitution, again, that's like vaccine mandates and stuff, and our courts start to become corrupt to the point where they're making and allowed to make comments like there's 100,000 kids in hospitals, and these 100,000 kids in hospitals are literally out there. The statistics are not there. There's only 3,500 according to the CDC, yet Sonia Sotomayor says there's 100,000. People look at this scenario and they say, hey, wait a minute, what's going on here? And when Obama was voted into office as president of the United States, I mean, the black folk out there that the Democrats were all saying should be reveling in joy that we now have a black president. You know what? This racist thing, you know, now it's coming back to bite them because people are sick and tired of being called racists. And this, now they're being called domestic terrorists because parents are concerned. And one of the things that I point out in our conversation with Brent Allen Winters, who is an attorney, commonlawyer.com, one of the things I point out is that he also understands about our rights as parents to not only be involved in our children's education, but long ago I was principled in the fact that you teach a child the way he should go, and when he grows older, he will not turn away from it. Spare the rod and spoil the child. And that has all changed, has it not? It's all changed because kids go out and do whatever they want, irregardless of what the law says. Parents can still be held liable. In Texas, for example, if your child goes out and TPs a house, the penalty against the parents that is assessed by the court is $3,000 per roll of toilet paper that they tossed into the trees or on the house of somebody they want to harass. $3,000 in fines get assessed to the parents. A long time ago, one of the greater common law folk told me that when you teach your child right from wrong, you are practicing law. And we have all these collective units out there called state bar associations that have all passed laws to protect themselves, called the Unauthorized Practice of Law, or UPL for short. And the sad state of affairs is that, you know, fortunately, they're not enforcing that against parents who are teaching their kids right from wrong. That is practicing law. And as Brent Allen Winters said, you parents out there, we're all lawyers if we practice the law. Is that not right, sir? The government doesn't need new powers to fight domestic terror. This was put out in commentary form by the Cato Institute, which we're going to publish on the Power Hour website. And I go back to the January 6th attack. And Benny Thompson, who is a black man from Mississippi, he's a Democratic congressman, who chairs the House Select Committee, which is not even a committee because there's only 9 people on the committee and not 13 like they're supposed to be. And he is recommending or might recommend new domestic intelligence powers. This goes right along with the Patriot Act. And none of the post 9/11 or 9/11 surveillance measures enacted by Congress, including sweeping USA Patriot Act, have ever been demonstrated through a rigorous independent review to have stopped a single attack on the United States over the last 20 years. And there's no reason to believe that still more spying authority for the FBI or the Department of Homeland Security would make a rerun of a Capitol riot less likely. However, you can't stop a committee that is hell-bent on violating American civil liberties from moving forward. And you can't stop school boards from calling the DOJ and saying, hey, these parents are showing up at our school board meetings and they should be labeled as domestic terrorists. And here we have an administration who has an attorney general that has now said that parents, he's agreeing with what the flippant governor, former governor of Arizona, Terry McAuliffe, is saying, is that parents don't have a right to say what goes on and what their kids are being taught. If your child is being taught critical race theory and he is taught to disrespect his fellow man, folks, I'm sorry, that goes against God's law. You are to love one another, love thy neighbor as thyself. That is a natural law that Brent Allen Winters was talking about. It is a common law that all men should adhere to. We do not go out of our way to just inadvertently kill our neighbor. We don't go out of our way to screw our neighbor's wife. We don't do stuff like that. That's not the way it is. And that reminds me because of the fact that we have all of this diatribe being exercised upon our children of a little Irish humor, because we have to have a little humor to break up the monotony of all this terrible news, especially people who call us racist and domestic terrorists. Patty McCoy, an elderly Irish farmer, received a letter from the Department for Work and Pensions stating that they suspected he was not paying his employees the statutory minimum wage, and they were going to send an inspector over to interview him. Well, on the appointed day, the inspector showed up. "Tell me about your staff," he asked Patty McCoy. "Well," said Patty, "there's the farmhand. I pay him 240 pounds a week, and he has a free cottage. Then there's the housekeeper. She gets 190 pounds a week, along with free board and lodging. There's also the halfwit. He works a 16-hour day, does 90% of the work, earns about 25 pounds a week, along with a bottle of whiskey, and as a special treat, occasionally gets to sleep with my wife." "That's disgraceful," said the inspector. "I need to interview the halfwit." That'll be me then," said Patty. Little Irish humor for you there. This is the thing about interfering with American civil liberties and the right to work and being called a domestic terrorist because you want to do what's right by your children and teach them the ways that they should go. And when they grow older, they won't turn away from it. That is a psalm straight out of the good book. And the idea, the Cato Institute, sometimes they come out with things that actually benefit mankind, even though they are of libertarian persuasion. I don't necessarily, as a libertarian, agree with everything they say. I'm also conservative as well. But due to a FOIA request, which I told you that was the solution to getting answers when the government won't talk, the Cato Institute discovered that the FBI had used this kind of mechanism, we call it physical surveillance, to open an investigation on Concerned Women for America in the absence of any kind of criminal predicate. The group's stated purpose is to protect and promote biblical values and constitutional principles through prayer, education, and advocacy. And according to this article's author, to the best of his knowledge, no one at the FBI has been investigated, much less disciplined or fired, for targeting the group. And even in regular FBI investigations, the Bureau's organizational mindset and investigation categorization process can slant an inquiry to label it as something it is clearly not, potentially compromising or chilling the constitutional rights of innocent Americans. Another recent Cato FOIA request highlights the problem. First, some background. In the years immediately after the invasion of Iraq, political passions of the U.S. were, like now, running high. The FBI, which has a long history of infiltrating and otherwise surveilling anti-war groups, continued the practice in the War on Terror era. One product of that surveillance was a July 2005 FBI field office on events whose case title included the acronym AOTDT, an abbreviation for Act of Terrorism, Domestic Terrorism. The document obtained by Cato via FOIA described Hunk for Peace event as sponsored by the Student Peace Action Network, or SPAN, at a campus green in North Carolina State University in Raleigh, North Carolina, followed by an evening for the exchange of ideas through music, conversation, and speakers. After that event, and separate from it, a small group of anarchists committed acts of vandalism in Raleigh against Bank of America ATM and North Carolina GOP headquarters. As the FBI report subsequently noted, several participants were charged with felony riot offenses. But there's a world of difference between hammering an ATM and using a truck bomb to destroy a federal building in Oklahoma City, or using airlines to fly into planes, you know, using these planes to fly into buildings in New York, acting as flying bombs. The fact the FBI classified this anti-war event as an act of terrorism investigation speaks to a mindset problem. And according to Patrick G. Eddington, senior fellow at the Cato Institute, vandalism is not acceptable, but conflating it with maiming and killing people for political purposes, the generally accepted definition of terrorism today, is reckless. Unfortunately, future search of FBI databases involving the words domestic terrorism and North Carolina will bring up hits for Span and Campus Green, even though neither group engaged in, much less officially endorsed, any act of political violence. Such episodes underscore the dangers, the power the FBI already possesses to give law enforcement agencies still more ill-conceived and sweeping domestic surveillance powers can only make those dangers worse. That's one of the reasons why we do not need the FBI and the DOJ and Merrick Garland telling us that we don't have a right as to what is being taught to our children. And you wonder why there is an uptick in the number of deaths between ages 18 and 49? Because, and our kids are dying too of fentanyl overdoses. They're buying this stuff and they're killing themselves because they're being taught in school that if you are white, you should hate yourself. What you think doesn't matter. You're a white supremacist, which means you're racist and you hate black people. But yet at home, you go home and you ask your parents, why is it that I am a bad person? And your mother says, oh, honey, why would you say that? I love you. You are not a bad person. You're a good person. Yeah, but my teacher said. Oh, now we're getting somewhere. What do you mean? What did your teacher tell you? She said, I'm white and I'm supposed to hate myself because I'm white. I'm supposed to hate black people. What teacher told you that, honey? I'm going to get to the bottom of this. Now, all of a sudden, mommy is a domestic terrorist because she now, who has tried to teach her son or daughter right from wrong, is practicing law, but now she's considered a domestic terrorist because she's teaching her child what is right from what is wrong? Have we lost our minds? No. Our government has lost its mind. And getting back to Civil War and these Rasmussen polls, you wonder why parents are arming themselves? You wonder why children are being taught at a very young age how to use a weapon? All I have to do is point to what happened at Ruby Ridge and Waco to understand just how the FBI and our government reacts. As Janet Reno, the late AG during the Clinton administration, said, the buck stops with me. And because of the fact that we have examples throughout history that cannot be erased, namely Ruby Ridge and Waco, and the FBI's capability of setting people up and making them look bad, I then have to turn around and look at January 6th and say, if the FBI is going to deny that they were not involved in setting this event up to make Americans, especially Trump supporters, look bad, I have to question the fact that the FBI all of a sudden gets silent over certain things, why certain people weren't prosecuted, why certain people don MAGA hats and we never see or hear from them again. It is because possibly these people were hell-bent for one thing and one thing only: to take out Trump by making his supporters look like Trump was responsible for putting them all there. And so this January 6th committee is going to get to the bottom of this. I then turn to what we talked about an hour ago on the show, and that was Hegelian dialectic. If you want an outcome, you merely have to enrage people enough and get them squared up with the law to understand that maybe they were ripped off and their votes don't count and they're disenfranchised and maybe they need to go to Washington and maybe we need to put people like Ray Epps out there. Get in there, tear up the Capitol, bomb this mother, you know, whatever. I mean, this is John Sullivan, Antifa, talking about this, using expletives. And what are they doing? They're sending all these people in, and here you have Ashley Babbitt that's trying to stop them from destroying the Capitol building and breaking windows to the Speaker's gallery, and a cop shoots her and gets away with it without so much as an interview nor an investigation. And you look at Hegelian dialectic, and the thing is this election was used to stew up the populace so the Trump supporters would go to Washington and march on Washington, and they were egged on by people, which then brought about the desired result, a committee to try to make sure that Donald Trump never gets to run for election again. Do you see how the Hegelian dialectic is playing out here? They're trying to get a solution to the problem. We'll just call everybody that won't pass this Voting Rights Act, where the feds can come in and take over our election process. We will just pass judgment on them and call Senator Manchin and Senator Sinema racist, because they are ripping off the black people's right to vote. Black people out there, you do not trust your government either. Listen to what Martin Luther King Jr. said. Judge them not by their content, but by their character, not by the color of their skin. You judge them by what they're doing. And if you see something funny going on, employ the Hegelian dialectic to what's going on and look what precipitated the riot. It was simply a riot. It was not an insurrection. If it was an insurrection, Shay's Rebellion would be taking place. People would have come with arms, and I guarantee you, all the Capitol Police would be laying their dead in a heap. Congress would be laying their dead in a heap, and they would have taken over, and you would have seen a legitimate coup d'etat, which you did not see. This whole January 6th committee is a joke. Bob in Missouri, thanks for calling in. You're with us here on the Power Hour. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm good. We talk about joke. You can look at everything you see. The information coming at you is purely monologue. That's what's good about talk radio, because there's a dialogue. Because monologue means dictatorship. That's propaganda, you know? And under
Thank you
Obama,
for that.
It was legalized propaganda, wasn't it, when he was in office?
That's right.
Yes, it was. And that should be a big, big issue in terms of all of the media, okay? If they're not propagandists, if it's not communist controlled. There's so many flaws in everything they do, except they control the narrative. That's the whole power that they have. Because these are little punks. If you meet these people, and I have, I've been around my whole life. And, you know, just talking about this critical race theory and stuff like that, I had a, 2 years ago, I have an occasion to be around young people a lot, you know. And one was an Indian who went to a very wealthy school in St. Louis, and a public school. And the mother was telling me, the Indian woman from India, that the teacher in the classroom, this was a couple years ago, okay, wanted all the white kids to get up and apologize to the black kids for slavery, you know? And actually, it's an Indian woman, because the white woman wouldn't say anything because she's being a racist, and she would acknowledge that, you know, they were making a fool out of their kid, making them slaves, to be honest with you. And this is, I called up the principal, okay? He totally denied it, okay? I was talking, I wasn't talking mean to him or anything like that, because I can be kind of intimidating. But I was just talking to him very plainly. He said, no, I never heard of such a thing. Well, I said, one of my students told me, and she had no reason to make this up. And, you know, so I want to find out who this teacher is. He goes, well, I never heard anything about it because I wouldn't allow it. And I said, well, I want to find out who this is and where they're at, because they should be fired. Okay, and I haven't heard back from him since. Okay, and I haven't bugged him since then. But this has been going on for a long time. And it's very, what's so insidious about this is these are pieces of garbage that are trying to get into your little kids' minds. You know, why would you let that? It's like a pervert. You know what, some child molester would say, they want that authorized, come in and molest your kids. You're going to sit there and watch them do that, and you're going to pay them to do it? What this really is, who was it, Stalin, or who said the West is corrupt and they're going to pay for the rope to hang themselves? This is one of those ropes that are around your neck. And they have no power. These are little punk people. Really, they are. If you meet them, they're little wusses. You know, it's just because they control that narrative, which is that media. They've gotten into the schools. Your guy you had on in terms of law. You know, that's what they go for, where they can have the most effect, the least amount of people, the most effete group of people on the planet control you. You know? So what do you got to say about that, Dave?
No, I mean, that's exactly right. And the thing is we spend all our time as parents educating our offspring to do the right thing. And then they go and they're paying dutifully their property taxes and their school taxes.
Yeah.
And all this money is flowing into the government so they can sit there and make our children counterproductive and come home and, well, my teacher said I don't have to. I don't have to listen to you. I can go out and burn a building. And if you look at the number of people, Bob, that actually were participating in the riots in 2020, these are all younger kids, don't have a pocket
to piss
in,
don't have an angle. I know. And you know what? Here's the other thing. That was a Bolshevik revolution. This is all Bolshevism. Because in St. Louis, you know, we're named after someone named St. Louis. I don't know if you realize that, but St. Louis was a king in France.
That's right.
They went. That's his statue is in front of our art museum or our great park called Forest Park. One of the best parks in the country, by the way. But anyway, they were attacking that statue. You know why? Because he was never in this country or anything like that. He was in France back in, I forget what year it was. Because he read the Talmud. That's why.
Oh, my.
Well,
we
Talmud
are.
Is,
yeah.
I'm
just sure doing. I get it. Yeah, we are out of time. There's that music again, Bob. I hate to cut you short because, you know, we're on a roll here, but we got to cut it short for today because we're out of time. A call back tomorrow. We will be back tomorrow, folks. Hope you got something out of today's sessions here on the Power Hour. Dave Krieger with you, and please stay safe, do the right thing. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.
All heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life, probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiatics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.